You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, we cover all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it would be Monday all day long. Monday, April 3rd, which, by the way, happens to be my brother's birthday. So shout out to what I referred to earlier this morning as my older, younger brother. Happy birthday to Chris. Boomer's on the board. Hey, bud. How are you?
I'm good.
McQueen is home. Life has been restored to some order of normal.
Yes, it is. It's great. I cleaned up the house before she got there. She never knew of the mess.
Well, let me just, so you cleaned up the house.
Yeah, I did.
Never knew of the mess. She knows now.
Hopefully she's not listening yet.
So basically you got all the points. You let your wife go on all a trip. The little bitty was with the grandparents. She won't remember whether mom or dad was there at this particular moment. You got all the time with little man.
All the time.
You got Star Wars and baseball and basketball and whatever
else. He was on spring break. So, I mean, we just got to hang out.
And then she came home to a clean house.
And then she came home to a clean house.
Who are you?
I don't know. But I was trying to rack up as many points as I could.
Apparently your ledger is full. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 4 o'clock today, our buddy Jeff Poore is going to call in. We got some topics we want to cover in the political spectrum. And since he's also the executive editor of 1819 News, I thought we might just chat through some things with Jeff Poore at 4 o'clock today. And then I got a triple dipper that's just, man, full. Go ahead.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. The very first one, right out the gate. Insurrection 2.0. Didn't we see like a standard being set about what an insurrection is? Didn't we get some kind of like major implications that if you rush on into the people's house, it's bad? It's like, wow. Like, next thing you know, government comes to a grinding halt. There's an attempt at an insurrection. Well, no, now we got insurrection 2.0, but they don't care. They don't care because it was liberals invading. So we'll talk about it. Just talk about the double standard. Give you an update of what happened in the Tennessee State Capitol last week. All right, number two on the triple dipper. Yeah. So, like, sometimes it's just so easy to resource a show, especially when one woke story after another occurs. And that, you know what that means? It means I have a smorgasbord. I have a buffet. I have a plethora. I have a vast cornucopia, if you will, of wokeness. We're doing Adventures in Woke World, number two on today's show. And then number three, left over from Friday because I couldn't get to it because of all the topics we were covering then. But number three is tone-deaf politics. It's amazing to me when you see, especially members of the executive branch, state and federal, doing things, and it's like, are you even aware of what your constituents feel or think or are going through right now? Are you just that tone-deaf? Can you not read the room? Well, we're going to talk about some examples right here in Alabama and up in D.C. and elsewhere. Tone-deaf politics, number three on the triple dipper. All right, listen, though, I will jump over to my opening comments, and I'll just say this. Both of our kids, Charlene and I, both our kids are married now, right? We have two grandkids, and yes, they are awesome. And somehow or another, though, there's always a moment when we're together and we wind up telling a story about things that happened when their daddy or their aunt was little. But sometimes, even without grandkids being present, we still laugh about things from those days because of the memories they set. When my daughter was little and I'd be driving her to one of her weekend soccer games, I'd get her motivated to play hard and I'd yell, "Show me your war face!" At which point, little five-year-old girl would scrunch up her face and we'd both yell, "Ah!" So when she got married last fall, right before I walked her down the aisle, I yelled out, "Show me your war face!" right there at the wedding. And she knew exactly what I was doing and we did it like it was yesterday. Kids are funny. I don't know about y'all, but as the years have gone on, we've adopted any number of words in our house that are not the normal way of saying things, if you know what I mean. When my daughter was young, she started calling biscuits spigots. And so for years, we ate spigots for breakfast in our house. My son took to calling French fries BBs, and we have no idea why, but we all liked it, so for many meals thereafter, if we had burgers, we likely had BBs. On another occasion, my son, at 4 years old, asked where we were going, and I said something to the effect of, we're going to someone's house, but they live down a long road way back in the woods, and so from then on, whenever he didn't know where we were going, he would ask, are we going way back there? And so inevitably, we'd say, yeah, buddy, we're going way back there. That was our way of describing it. But one of our favorites of all time, we were talking about it this past weekend, came when my son was roughly three. He was sitting in his car seat as he and my wife were driving through Georgia, and my son looked out the window and said, Mommy, where are we? And she replied, we're in a city called Noonan. And he thought about it for a minute. And then in the way that only a three-year-old can do, he says, I don't like that name. I'm going to call it Fred. Sorry, Noonan, you are now known to the Williams family as Fred, Georgia. Well, this is all fun. This is never a time when it was mandated. No other households that I'm aware of ever had to eat spigots, BBs, or drive through Fred, Georgia. It was child's play. It was precious. But we all know that in the end, there's no means by which a child can change things or change the English language simply because they say so. It's somewhat of a cultural rule, a norm, sometimes even a matter of law, that just because someone says so, don't make it so. If we had gone to each one of our neighbors and told them that it didn't matter what their map said or what the annotated code of Georgia says or what the city council of Noonan says, they all have to comply by changing it to Fred, Georgia from now on, well, that would have worked out as well as a screen door in a submarine. People would have questioned our sanity and wondered why we would cow down to the sweet but yet infantile notions of our youngest family members. Maturity says the revised versions of words were to be seen as such, and then our kids grew out of them as time went by. Isn't it amazing how some people, though, are of the mind that allowing kids to have what they want because they throw a tantrum is just a good idea? I mean, how often have we seen that child in Walmart or at the restaurant or the park, and when they throw a fit, the parent just relented just to keep the peace? Well, it never ends there. The tantrums get bigger and more frequent when the child realizes that stomping their feet and yelling at the top of their lungs yields the results they want. The little things become big things and bad things become worse things, and when that kind of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth is seen as productive behavior, well, they get what they want and life gets worse around them. Well, liberals have apparently forgotten that. So often these days we're being told that because they say so, somehow makes it so. Well, not so. Relabeling common things in order to fit a personal narrative and then demanding adherence to that narrative simply because they say so is juvenile at best. It is disingenuous. It is the poor man's attempt to make the world bend to a childlike tantrum. Greta Thunberg croaking, "How dare you!" to the whole world because she wanted to skip school and become a climate activist has no meaning to the majority of adult-minded citizens, and it shouldn't. Dylan Mulvaney skipping down the hall like Shirley Temple while celebrating his so-called 365 days of girlhood, well, that's farcical. It bears no resemblance to reality. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas claiming the border is secure while millions pour over it is nothing but revisionist. But the question I have is, why is there such a pervasive effort to either A, believe that these and many other liberal notions are true for some reason, or B, simply not care enough to point out that they are not? I mean, at what point did adult society cede control to the non-adults, figuratively speaking, and allow for anything that is said to simply be truth, or anything demanded to be provided? It appears that the left has given itself over to yielding to tantrums, revisions, and childish notions, and they don't seem to know how to pull out. It reminds me of Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when that spoiled character named Veruca Salt. She yelled out, "I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it all up in my pocket. It's my borrowed chocolate. Give it to me now." But just as in Willy Wonka, all the other members of the cast saw right through Veruca's tantrums, and they were glad when she was gone. Well, the day is fast coming. I believe it. The day is fast coming when good people will have had enough of being told to refer to boys as girls, or watching boys beat up on girls in girls' sports. Enough with the changing of our language as pronouns become weapons, and we're told to refer to singular people as they, them. Soon enough, I believe there will be a comeuppance for those who tell us we can't have a gas stove, or that our cars must be charged on an electrical grid, or that compliance is expected, not asked, but expected on matters such as, you know, hiring someone simply because of their race. Time's running out for those who blithely believe that no one will question their need to sexualize children by having explicit reading material in their elementary classrooms, or that it's okay for drag queens to straddle a middle schooler and it's all fun and games. Parents are out of patience. Parents are out of patience with their children being told that they have privilege and are either oppressors or oppressed in their systemically racist country. And shareholders are tired of seeing what happens to their 401ks and bank accounts when environmental green compliance means more to corporations than profits. All said and done, just saying something is does not make it so. A tantrum by a liberal activist does not merit a change in our behavior. We've had it. We're tired of being told that when liberals rename something in the name of their agenda that we must get on board. Well, here's an idea. No. Liberal tantrums don't make for good public policy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, it is. I mean, I look at it and I think, man, what the heck? It's like watching some of what liberals are doing right now is like a child throwing a tantrum, and so many adults around them are going, okay, we'll give you what you want. Stop it. That never makes things better. Remind the child that you love them, but no, that ain't the way it's going to be. And guess what? Things move along quite well, and they grow up to be well-adjusted. It's time right now for our society to take back the argument. Give the tantrums a time out. Keep moving forward. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Man, I'm telling you right now, this so breaking news, just so you know, is that Trump has been in the air now for several minutes, flying to New York City to turn himself in for his arraignment on the indictment charges. My latest piece, by the way, is out on 1819 News, and we have multiple other outlets around the state that will carry it throughout the week. But I wrote about this very thing, and CNN, Boomer. I mean, what? I guess they're gonna. Are they gonna have somebody tracking the flight?
That's exactly what they're doing. They're literally zoomed up to a blurry plane, saying, "Hey guys, he's coming.
Look out, y'all!
Watch it."
It's like the Santa Claus tracker on NORAD. You know where they got just trying to figure out where is
you
he now?
You heard it first here on CNN. Look at this.
He's 2 minutes closer. How much further do you got to go? I don't know. A few hours. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
But anyway, they're going to keep doing this, I guess, because the news cycle is going to wind up being that President Trump is en route to New York City and that tomorrow he will turn himself in peacefully at the courthouse in New York City. And we don't know for a fact whether they're going to let him walk in the front door and wave to the crowd or if they're going to bring him in through a back entrance. They have some gated entryways. They can also take people in, and who knows? I don't know. And I don't know too whether the judge may take that opportunity to put a gag order in place. Can they do that though? I'm not sure they can put a gag order in place that says you can't talk about the fact that there is a case because they're sure talking about you being in a case. So anyway, lots more to come. I suspect we're going to hear about this ad nauseum now for days, years, maybe. But you know what, though? I will say this. If they're going to pursue it, then at least Trump has a chance to get it out of the way before he gets reelected. Because right now, the odds are that he would get reelected, even with these pending charges. And, I mean, nobody should have to go through what he went through in his first 4 years And so, yeah, the idea that he can get this cleared maybe before that day comes, that would be something. Turn to the text lines real quick. There are other things going on in the news. I appreciate Jeff from Indiana. Even sent us a picture from the road. He talked about Jeff from Indiana is a truck driver. He drives a daily route through this area, and he saw Officer Garrett Crumby's funeral procession from the Huntsville PD was honoring him. He said well over 100 police vehicles. Took 10 minutes for them all to drive by, and he said lots of people on the side of the road, on the overpasses. He said it was amazing. He even brought tears to his eyes just watching that much support for one of our fallen men in blue. So anyway, Jeff, appreciate you sharing that with us. And then I got, with regards to my monologue a moment ago about liberal tantrums, Badger from Athens texted in and says, just spank them all. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I was talking about things that are, you know, kids say them differently or you say them differently in the household. Frank from Huntsville says, my mom used to call tampons cornflakes. She would tell my dad, buy some more cornflakes at the store. And I requested one day that please buy Rice Krispies. That's okay. Anyway, I don't think it. Anyway, Jeff from Green Hill wants to do an opinion piece sometime. One of my dippers, I guess, on financials, the U.S. dollar being devalued worldwide. We will talk about that sometime soon, Jeff. Thanks much. And then John from Huntsville just texted in and says, he says, hey, Boomer. McQueen lost.
Oh, yes, she did.
So let's talk about that bracket there,
bracket.
It's all right, so Boomer's bracket. That's what it was. You call it the right side ruffian bracket. It was
Boomer
really,
bracket.
It was really the Boomer bracket because you put this thing together, man. Great job on that.
Thanks. It was
we had
fun.
A ton of people get involved with it. Like yes. 192 signed up to be in. So we're down to it.
We're down to it. Last game tonight. There are only two that I see right here in front of me that actually could jump ahead and win.
Who do they be?
So we got Mason D and Michael, lots of numbers. But they're the only two that chose UConn to win. Right now we have Elisa, TK, Scott, and Bama Best. So those are the top three right now. But if UConn wins tonight, Michael and Mason will jump them. And Mason will actually be the winner.
Yeah, because both picked UConn for the final, but apparently Mason had probably had one game better
than
the overall.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. He has at least one game a little overall, so he'll be one, and Mike will be number two.
And we got some swag.
We got some stuff.
We got some stuff for the winner. We got a box of goodies for the winner, all right side ruffian kind of stuff.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So we'll lay that out there probably tomorrow. I guess we'll know by tomorrow who it is, right?
That's right. And then once I get a hold of them, and I'll get their address and ship it all out.
All right. So yeah. So if you are in the top, looks like I would say in the top eight, there are people within the top eight people in the bracket right now that are one of those is gonna be the winner.
That's right.
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't it be a hoot if it was UConn?
It would be.
And so at that point, you would have probably Mason would be in first place and Michael with all the numbers would be in second place, I would imagine, if
that's
UConn
right.
wins.
That's exactly what it would be. And then Elisa TK in third.
Did anybody in our entire bracket pick San Diego State?
No.
Did anybody in the whole world pick San Diego
Maybe
State?
Maybe only the ones from San Diego State.
Did the parents of the San Diego State players pick San Diego State? It's San Diego State's players pick San Diego State. Ain't no bookie in the world throwing odds on San Diego State about a month ago. All right. All right, folks. We'll be back in a little bit. Right after this break, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about from way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia and Tennessee and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, hey, you'll be happy to know Trump's on the ground. He's there. Trump's on the ground. Trump's here. Trump's at LaGuardia. Trump's on the ground. Trump's, what the heck, man? I just look at it and think this is just obnoxious, really. But this is what they wanted, you know. We got to indict him. Got to get Trump. Got to get Trump. But here's the other thing. I look at this, and I'm not going to get all off on this. We spent a whole lot of time on it on Friday, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more in days to come. But the reality is, the Democrats needed this so badly. They got to get Trump, and so you've got a guy who downgrades 50% or more of the felonies in his jurisdiction to misdemeanors, except for this one, which he upgraded from a misdemeanor to a felony. Wow. And this is what he has to focus on right now. All his time and resources, you got to know, this high-profile case, yeah, it's all about this. It's all about Trump. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a news cycle that will beat all you've ever seen. And you know, on the one hand, I say it should, because they've just tried to indict the former president of the United States on misdemeanor charges that two other investigative bodies had looked at and decided were not worthy of pursuit. Until you get a guy who ran for office on the idea of getting Trump, who has now done the first upgrade of a felony that we know of, or misdemeanor to a felony that we know of. And so President Trump has now flown in from Florida and will turn himself in tomorrow and let the spectacle begin. And I guarantee you, though, I guarantee you that this is going to be a situation where the liberals are going to talk about it nonstop and add their own spin to it. The conservatives are going to do the same. And then Trump is going to capitalize on it. But then I think, you know, and there's debate among the liberal left. The debate is, have we just empowered him? Have we assured him of victory in the end? Or have we just gained the guy that we think we're best able to run against? Depends on who you talk to or who you listen to. We'll see. Either way, let me jump over to the Triple Dipper. Number one of the Triple Dipper, Insurrection 2.0. 2.0. I say that because here we are. I mean, let me hearken back to, remember when the state house, the state capitol in Wisconsin was taken over by radical left, mostly teachers union members, when Scott Walker was reforming issues related to the teachers union and education in Wisconsin? Remember that? Governor Scott Walker, Republican? The stage was really set, in my opinion, by liberals when they showed that taking over the state capitol is okay. You can get in there, you can mess the place up, you can make a scene, you can do, and by the way, it's not okay. But what I'm saying is this. I don't recall conservative activism taking over a Capitol building. Now, it may have happened. And if somebody has a text you want to send me, 833-687-4448, remind me of a time when conservatives took over a state capitol or any capitol for that building. Help me remember it. But right now, my recollection is the stage for this kind of thing was set, especially in recent history, by liberals, screaming liberals, literally screaming liberals, in the Wisconsin Capitol just a few years ago. And it got ugly. And they left the place in a mess. And they were there daily. And they were blocking up the opportunity for governance to take place. And they were making their voices heard. Oh, Phil, it's a people's house. Yeah, okay. You know what? It's the people's house. Doesn't give you a right to trash it. It's the people's house, doesn't give you a right to just, you know, make a mockery of the people's house. At some point, man, let decorum take over. Make your voices heard, but my gosh. So liberals in Wisconsin, I specifically remember, because I was there as a legislator, when in Alabama, just a few years ago, we were passing the Alabama version of an immigration reform bill. Federal government wouldn't do a thing under Barack Obama. It was not as bad as it is now under Biden, but it was bad. It's part of what catapulted Trump to office when he said, we're going to build a wall. And so we had a state-level immigration bill. You've heard me talk about it on here before if you've been around the show for a bit. protesters. I'm talking about they were jam-packed. I will say this. The Alabama State House is not conducive to large crowds, and that's probably what kept it tamer than it was. But it was still filled. You couldn't hardly walk down the halls. They were yelling, and there was times when they were in the small lobby area right before you walk into the Senate chambers. And when I say small lobby area, I'm talking about old building, low ceilings, in a room that's, you know, maybe roughly, what, 100 feet by 50 feet wide. And it was packed. And they were chanting, and they were locking arms and sitting on the floors and trying to block you from getting down the hallway, elbowed me in the ribs as I was trying to get by to go for a vote. It was nuts. So I've seen this before. I would say that liberals set the stage for what became the January 6th riot. Now, I am not trying to say, I'm not trying to defer. I don't care what, you know, brand of politician you stood for on January 6th. If you were a conservative, you were a Trump supporter or not, January 6th was a bad idea. The idea that we're going to raid the Capitol building and knock down the doors and, you know, but was it an insurrection? No. There's a legal definition of insurrection, and that was not it. But that being said, it has been the thing that we have heard about nonstop for the last several years. And then last Thursday, something happened in Tennessee. Last Thursday, within days of six innocents, including three of those being just children, nine-year-olds, at Covenant Christian School in Nashville, we saw activists basically take over the Tennessee State Capitol. Oh, Phil, they're making their voices heard. Yeah, they are. They're also making their physical presence known. They were also chanting. They were pushing their way in. They were fighting back with police officers. They were, you know, blockading legislators in the restroom, no less. Legislators having to call for police to come help them get out of the restroom, for crying out loud. And then, you know, getting in people's faces, spitting and making, you know, just making a total scene and a mockery of their state capitol. But no one on the left wants to call that an insurrection. Didn't it fit the bill? Isn't this what we've been told for the last couple of years is the most dangerous thing to ever happen to democracy in the time that we've been a nation? Nah, nothing to see here, man. Story on the Post-Millennial. Dated March 30th, that would be what, Friday, I think? Thursday? On Thursday, a large number of individuals congregated at the Tennessee State Capitol, with the situation quickly turning chaotic as leftist activists entered the building and were seen shouting at lawmakers, demanding more gun control measures, and among those present were parents with their children and members of the community demonstrating following the Covenant School shooting, which resulted in the deaths of six individuals. Okay. Protesters stormed the building, it says, filled the hallways, chanting slogans. Demonstrators took over both indoor and outdoor spaces, video shows. The Senate Chamber Gallery was filled with protesters, including children holding signs with the age of the victims of the recent attack. Meanwhile, in the House, two Democrat lawmakers even caused a temporary disruption themselves by grabbing a megaphone and joining in the chants of power to the people. Okay, so that sounds, if I had changed all of that and said in the Capitol building, not the Tennessee State Capitol, but I just said all of that. Let me read it to you again. A large number of individuals congregated at the Capitol, with the situation quickly turning chaotic as activists entered the building and were seen shouting at lawmakers, demanding, you know, something. Among those present were, anyway, and I go on, protesters stormed the building, filled the hallways. What does that sound like? Oh, yeah, January 6th. But no, it's not insurrection 2.0. By the way, did you know, Boomer, I don't know if you saw this or not, you know the guy they call the QAnon shaman?
Yes, the one that's like he was shirtless or something and went in there with horns. Or,
yeah,
that guy.
And then his name's Jacob Chansley.
Right,
he's a Navy veteran. I hear that he's got some emotional issues or something like that. But anyway, sentenced to 4 years. And then Tucker Carlson got hold of the video of the January 6th event, the video that had been suppressed, the video that his own attorneys were not allowed to see to help in his defense.
Hmm.
Yeah. The same day they're rioting in Tennessee State Capitol, Jacob Chansley was released almost 27 months early.
Really?
He's out of prison.
Under the radar.
Yeah, no one heard.
Wow.
It just happened.
Okay.
So this happened, story on Newsweek. Story on Newsweek. QAnon shaman Jacob Chansley prison release sparks speculation. This is on Newsweek. It says, Chansley, who was seen shirtless and donning Viking headgear and red and white and blue face paint, pleaded guilty to one count of obstruction of an official proceeding. One count, obstruction of an official proceeding. 41 months in prison. 41 months in prison. And oh, by the way, you don't get the benefit of seeing the videos that show that you were really just walking around escorted by police officers, calmly, not doing anything, never once taking a step to, you know, disrupt or, for that matter, destroy. No. Albert Watkins, the attorney who represented the Chansley when he pleaded guilty, told CNN the footage aired by Carlson was never presented to him at the time of his client's deliberations about whether to accept a plea deal. So on the same day that Insurrection 2.0 is happening at the Tennessee State Capitol, the guy who was quietly sentenced, not quietly, who was sentenced to 41 months in prison was quietly released after, well, just over half of that. And he's in a halfway house right now serving out the rest of his sentence, no longer in jail. Funny how that works out. Does anybody see the irony in this? The same day that the things that he was accused of doing and convicted of one count of obstruction of an official proceeding. What does that even mean? One count of obstruction of an official proceeding. That was the charge. And for that, he had to plead. And without the benefit of the exculpatory evidence in the videos that Tucker Carlson later aired, Jacob Chansley got 41 months in prison. But on the same day, they're doing it again, except it's liberals this time. Jacob Chansley is released early. Things that make you think that the system is rigged. Boomer, take us to a break. We'll come right back. I'm going to keep going a little bit more on Insurrection 2.0. It's amazing, the double standard. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. And by the way, Trump's in his car. The Trump motorcade has now left LaGuardia and is headed to Trump Tower, we believe, unless he stops for a burger on the way. Who knows? Trump stopped for a burger. So I mean, wow. Okay. So, yeah, We got plenty of micro stories here. Trump is in the air. Trump is out of the air. Trump is on the ground. Trump is in his car. It's going to go like this for a while. I suspect that the next 72 hours are going to be massive. Of course, there's the old saying, though, ain't no such thing as bad publicity when you're a public official, they say. As George Wallace, a former governor of Alabama, said at one point, as long as they spell your name right, it's all good. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it's going yet. I mean, we got any number of things right now, though. I'm in Triple Dipper number one, Insurrection 2.0. Have I got a call, Boomer? What's the scoop? Okay. Is that Jeff? Is he on topic? Jeff from Indiana. What are you doing, man? Did I lose him?
Yeah.
Hang on. There you are. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Yeah. Pretty good, Phil. Yeah, watched that funeral procession go by Falkville a while ago. That was a very touching thing. There was well over 100 cars in that procession.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? And Leanne from Huntsville just texted in, too. She sent a picture of the they have a giant American flag up on bucket trucks, you know, lifted up high in the air over the road. You can drive under it as you're going into the funeral.
there were several of those down the road. I've seen at least two of them.
Wow. Well, and so, you know, rightfully but, so.
Yeah. But, you know, you talk about Trump going in the New York here and everything. Did you hear that the mayor is going to, you know, if anybody causes any trouble, they're going to arrest him and throw the book at him?
No, really? People protesting in favor of Trump or otherwise?
Well, I'm figuring if you got a red hat on, you're going to be busted and throw the book at you. But if you got a BLM shirt or something on, I don't think they can get arrested, can they?
Well, this is the day that Jussie Smollett needs to go out and buy a sandwich at 2 in the morning.
I think so. It'll be interesting to see because you know you got 90% of the people in New York are Democrats. So if there is any Trump supporters show up there and they start fights with them, I don't think we can arrest the BLM people or the or Antifa or anything else like that, can we? We just got to arrest people with red hats on.
I don't know, bro. I mean, the whole thing is just a freaking mess. I look at this and think, what a circus, what a sideshow. And yet there's people in New York City that are getting mugged and beaten up and, you know, business owners being charged with crimes for defending themselves in the middle of a crime. And you look at it and go, and this is what he's going to focus on for the next 2-3 years.
I mean, you know, anybody arrests anybody for anything, I would say if I go before a judge, I'm going to say I demand equal justice under the law. If you're not prosecuting these other people, you know, the big thing is saying now that, you know, nobody's above the law. And I'm thinking, well, all the Democrats are above the law because they haven't charged any of those people with crimes and they've committed tons of crimes. But if you're a Republican, you're going to get charged with jaywalking, and it's going to be a major crime, you know.
Yeah, in fact, there's a story right now that you said that up on Fox News came out just in the last, like, 10 minutes, actually. And it's a lady who was, she was attacked in Central Park, and she is now calling out the DA because there's been nothing there to benefit the arrest of her, you know, attacker, and yet the DA is going to focus on this. So we're gonna hear a lot of this kind of stuff for a while. Well, I take it back. We're gonna hear, if you look at conservative news, you're gonna hear a lot about it. But
right.
Hey, before
but,
we
but I'm
go ahead.
Go ahead. But I mean, I'm serious. If I got arrested for something and I know somebody did the same crime and didn't get charged with it, I'm going to demand my constitutional rights and say you can't charge me with this because it's equal justice under the law.
Well, you have to wonder. I mean, it's at some point, when are we allowed to use that as a defense? That I would be in a different position if it were not for him. But the law allows them to have what's called prosecutorial discretion. But this is not discretion. This is an indiscretion, in my opinion. And then I got to ask you though, real quick, before we go to break here, Jeff. Last week, Tennessee State Capitol, insurrection or not?
Of course it's an insurrection if you're holding them to the same standards that you did the other people. I mean, actually, the January 6th people, constitutionally, should have been allowed to go in there because it was an illegal election, and they were trying to stop an unconstitutional election.
Well, now you're just talking crazy. You're just talking out your head right now, man.
No. They didn't hold the election in certain states to the law, and as long as they didn't follow the law on the election rules, then it was illegal. You know, but by definition.
Well, you ain't wrong, brother.
Mr.
Listen,
Lawyer.
Hey, listen,
that's
listen.
What I say.
we're about to head to break, brother. You be careful on the road, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Phil. You take her easy.
All right, buddy. All right, listen, we're going to go to break here in a second. We're going to come back, though, and I'll wrap up this section on Insurrection 2.0, and then we'll have some fun with Adventures in Woke World. I say fun. Some of it's going to make you mad. I'm just going to go ahead and predict. Some of y'all are going to be like, oh, my, and they're going to throw your radio. Don't throw your radio. Whatever you do, don't throw your radio. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio with already being in hour number two. Local, state, national, man, we cover all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, if you watch the live stream on our website, which is at www.rightsideradio.org, you may have gotten to enjoy seeing me spit out a lifesaver in the trash can because Boomer goes, "You got 5 seconds." Oh, boom. I can't be schlocking a lifesaver when we come back on.
I know. Well, we were just chatting, and then next thing I know, I turn back. I'm like, oh, here we go. Let's jump in.
Quick, spit out the lifesaver. Oh, my God. By the way, Trump's in the car.
Oh, Trump's in the car. I was just asking you about that. Are they just going to continually follow his car, his actions? He's going to go get a sandwich. I mean, I guess they're just going to film.
Trump got a ham sandwich with mustard. Trump got a ham sandwich with mustard.
That's what they're going to do.
That's what it's going to be like, man. It's madness. It's madness.
I mean, they're following all these cars, and it's
now
just
it
like,
is a big story.
It is a big story.
But this part, I mean, right now it is nonstop footage flying overhead, watching Trump drive.
Right. Because we're not listening to the story part. We're just watching that part.
Golly.
Oh man.
I mean, just can you wait till something happens and then tell us, please? Not just Trump's in the car. Trump's driving. No, he's not. He's not driving. He has drivers. All right. Hey, back to this thing about where was I? By the way, Insurrection 2.0. One of the most maddening things that happened the other day. Not only with the complete insensitivity of crashing the state house and using the recent deaths of little children to help capitalize on your proposals, your agenda, were the number of protesters who thought it was cool to hold up seven fingers. Seven fingers. There were six people murdered. But it's hard for transgenders these days. It's hard. It's very hard to be a transgender. Don't you know there's violence against transgenders? Oh, gosh. No, it's not. And so what they did, they were holding up seven as if the shooter herself was a victim, honoring the seven who died in the event. I got news. No one would have died in the event if number seven hadn't been a mentally disturbed, radical individual made more radical by today's left. And they're going to celebrate that by holding up seven fingers during Insurrection 2.0. Three Democrat lawmakers, according to Fox News, also joined in the pro-gun control protesters, chanting "No justice, no peace, and save our children" was echoing through the Tennessee House of Representatives chambers. Three Democrat lawmakers, Representatives Justin Jones, Justin Pearson, and Gloria Johnson, brought the Tennessee lower chamber to a halt when they joined in chanting with the protesters. Protesters called for an assault weapons ban. Do it now! In the wake of the mass shooting and federal law. By the way, an assault weapons ban. Can I point out something? These gun control efforts never result in actual gun control. They just create the opportunity for good people to not have guns to stop bad people. All of the weapons that she obtained for the shooting were obtained legally in this case, but we've seen in other incidents when they're obtained illegally. The bottom line is, bad guys could care less about your gun control laws. They're going to get what they want to do their crimes. Yeah. I will say also, too, the Jacob Chansley, who's now been released from jail, if you didn't hear that earlier, Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman from the January 6th insurrection, has been released, by the way, serving only 27 months of a 41-month sentence. Really? Interesting. Funny how that happened right after the Tucker Carlson episodes of airing the videos came out. But there's a new one, just so you know. You're not seeing much about it. Liberal media won't point out. But the trans activists who also joined the gun control activists in the Tennessee state capitol, included one who called himself, referred to himself, as a self-described genderqueer clown nun. Yeah, Daily Mail has this one. The genderqueer clown nun immediately drew comparisons to the QAnon shaman. Well, at least to those who pay attention to those things. Okay, just madness. And then lastly, Newsweek wants us desperately to make sure you understand this is not an insurrection. Stop it. No. Insurrection was the January 6th. It was when conservatives went to the Capitol. Stop it. Let me tell you, there's differences. Well, Newsweek did a three-page article. Oh, two and a half. I'm sorry. Two and a half-page article defining the differences, which they say literally show that after just what they call, quote, a cursory investigation, that Thursday's incident was anything but a January 6th reprise. Really? Do tell. Well, I mean, for one, unedited video of the protest shows that one student was apprehended by police and surrendered peacefully with hands in the air. Really? Isn't that the way pretty much things went in the U.S. Capitol? Where people, yeah, did things they shouldn't do, but then they were arrested oftentimes at their homes much later, not even knowing they'd done something wrong. Videos from right-wing media research center and conspiracy theorist Jack Posobiec misleadingly presented to suggest protesters took over the microphone. No, they didn't. It was three Democrats taking over the microphone. All I'm saying is this, and I'll wind down this segment here. This is what happens when you're allowed to have a double standard. Liberals feel emboldened, dating back to the invasion of the Wisconsin Capitol to protest Governor Scott Walker's efforts to reform education and deal with the teachers' union. Alabama State House, when I was there, immigration control, you know, anti-activists showed up in force to make a mockery of the ability to do the people's business. And then January 6th happens, but when it turns right around and happens again in a state capitol by liberals, even one who calls himself a genderqueer nun, clown nun, genderqueer clown nun, and they barricade themselves in the building where legislators can't even get out of the restrooms without having to call state troopers to come help them get through the crowd. But that's not an insurrection 2.0. That's not. Come on, Phil. Don't draw. Insurrection 2.0. You know the deal. January 6th is when they tried to stop government. What the heck? Anyway, double standard? Yeah, you think? I'd say yes. All right, we're going to wrap this thing up. Hey, Trump's at Trump Tower. This is going to go on like this. Boomer's laughing over here. It's every day. All right, he's going to get out of the car. Police are there. He's getting out of the car. What? It's going to go. They got the street blocked off. He's going to his apartment, y'all. He's going to have a burger, and he's going to hang out. And tomorrow morning, he's going to go down there and peacefully turn himself in and get the mugshot that he will then mail to all of our houses as something to show why he's the one who needs to get, you know, elected so that the rest of the world doesn't have to go through what he's going through, and yet he has the money to pay for. Wow. 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 I hope Alvin Bragg gets his backside handed to him. I mean, like justice just flipped on his head right now. All right, you guys, let's take a break right now. Boomer, we're about a minute earlier than usual. We'll take the break. We'll go right to it and come right back. And it's time. It is time. Adventures in Woke World. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, well, there's that time, that place. You got a sound effect ready, Boomer? Because we're about to use it, man. Because I have literally spent some time, and it didn't take too long. Didn't take too long because there are so many of them. Whereas I'm going through my resourcing for the show, I find over and I'm like, wow, that's woke. Look at that one. Look how woke that. What in the world? Next thing I know, I realize I have an entire veritable buffet, a plethora, a cornucopia, if you an entire cavalcade of wokeness, which means that once again, it's time to either make you mad, make you laugh, make you smile, make you throw your radio, because it's time for adventures in woke world.
Adventures in woke world.
My gosh, right out the gate, I don't even know what to do. I'm looking at this. So, Boomer, did you take a look at some of these when you were helping me put the resources in print
form today? I did a couple. I just kind of just
did
skimmed.
You see the meatball story? Yeah. Did you?
I saw the meatball story.
Holy crap. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to read you the headline. I want your reactions, Boom, as we go forward here. All right? This one's important. Headline, Daily Wire, dated March 28th, so what, 4 or 5 days ago. Australian company unveils a lab-grown meatball made from woolly mammoth.
From woolly mammoth.
That's the headline. I don't know what part freaks me out more, the fact that it's a lab-grown meatball or that it comes from an extinct animal.
Lab-grown woolly mammoth.
They call this cultivated meat.
That's just, why would they even say that?
I don't want it at all.
There's
some words that shouldn't go together, and I'm pretty sure cultivated and meat do not go together. So here's the story. You ready? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Daily Wire, March 28th. A producer of lab-grown meat. That's just freaking wrong. I could spend all day talking about how wrong that. If you don't want to eat meat, don't eat it. But don't go make fake meat and tell us it is. And oh, by the way, I don't want to eat your bacon that was grown in a lab. Thank you very much. Mm-mm. A producer of lab-grown meat unveiled an ancient appetizer perfect for your paleo diet. It says an Australian synthetic meat producer called Vow unveiled a meatball made from the genetic material of the woolly mammoth on Tuesday, that's last week. The meatball was created using proteins synthesized from a mammoth genome, and it's part of the company's mission to fight climate change using lab-grown meat. God almighty, there had to be another agenda in there. It's not just that they're capitalists and they want to make money off of lab-grown meat. No, it's about climate change.
Climate change.
The mammoth meatball. Every paragraph in the story, by the way, is rich in wokeness and things to laugh at. The mammoth meatball was created with the help of Ernst Wolfgang. If that doesn't sound like Dr. Frankenstein's cousin, I don't know what does. Ernst Wolfgang. Ernst Wolfgang synthesized mammoth muscle tissue. Okay, you ready? I'm going to read it to you. You ready for this? This is there's layers in here. There's layers, brother. Ernst Wolfgang synthesized mammoth muscle tissue using a DNA sequence from myoglobin, the protein responsible for the pigment and flavor of red meat. He then filled in a few gaps in the genetic material using DNA from an African elephant, a close relative of mammoths, and the DNA was then implanted in myoblasts from a sheep and replicated into about 20 billion cells, enough to produce 400 grams of mammoth meat.
So elephant, sheep, mammoth meat.
Yeah. Like extinct mammoth, extinct. Current elephant, and oh, by the way, mixed it with sheep. Somewhere in there, between that and artificial intelligence, I am scared for the human race. What the heck?
Y'all just go on out there and get your little mammoth ball.
He says it was ridiculously easy and fast. Did it in a couple of weeks. Oh, good.
Oh, that makes
the original.
Me
feel yeah, I know. The original goal of the project was to create a chicken nugget. Oh my God.
What?
The original goal of the project was to create a chicken nugget out of meat from a dodo bird. I'm reading you a real article. This is serious.
Y'all go
business.
Look at. Go. You have to pull up the article.
You got them on the resources?
It's on the resources.
Okay, so this is one you're going to want to find. So you go to our website, rightsideradio.org. rightsideradio.org, and on the tab that says live stream, you can see like the video playing of Inside the Studio. You can scroll down a little further. You can see the audio link in case all you want is the audio. At the very bottom, there's a place that says resources. You click on that, you can go to today's Triple Dipper. All the stories from today's Triple Dipper are on there, including the one at the top of Adventures of Woke World called Australian Company Unveils a Lab-Grown Meatball Made from a Woolly Mammoth, developed by a guy named Ernst Wolftang, who combined African elephants, lamb parts, and woolly mammoth muscle and grew lab-grown meat to help fight climate change. I can't.
That's just too much.
If we find out that Ernst Wolftang is a transgender, my day is complete.
There you go. I mean, let me just talk to somebody around the water cooler about this mammoth ball that we're
mammoth
about to be eating.
He does say this: I take heart in knowing, he says, nobody has tasted the mammoth meatball. It's likely that nobody will. Like a little common sense prevails. He goes, we haven't seen this protein for thousands of years. We have no idea how our immune system would react when we eat it. Yeah, it creates zombies. This is how the zombie apocalypse starts. This is
the mammoth balls.
It's either AI launching Skynet and going self-aware and eradicating the human race and turning us all into batteries, or it's going to be Ernst Wolftang and his freaking mammoth meatball starting the zombie apocalypse. Either way, it's bad.
Lab-grown meat.
That's it. I'm going off the grid. Me and Charlene are growing tomatoes in the backyard and hunting our own food. I'm just going off the grid.
Just don't make your own lab meat.
Don't know. No cultivated meat at my house. He says he could understand people being initially wary of such meat. It's not meat.
It's not.
If you grew it in a lab, I'm calling it not meat. I really feel kind of gross right now.
Yes.
I think I need another lifesaver just to get the taste out of my mouth. I don't even know where to go with this, Boomer. The text lines are open, 833-687-4448. I got to know, is anybody out there brave enough to eat a lab-grown woolly mammoth meatball? All right, so Boomer, somebody comes along and says, we'll pay you $1 million. Would you eat a mammoth, lab-grown
mammoth
meatball?
I don't think I could. I went to this one place when I was in Africa, and it was called the Carnivore. And they would come around with giant machetes with random meat on it, and they would just slice it on your plate. And I tried a lot of disgusting stuff, but that, not the woolly mammoth, lab-grown sheep, elephant.
Yeah,
I don't even want to know what it looks like.
I ate as a guest of an Afghan warlord one time, and his boy came out of the kitchen area, which was like an open fire kitchen, with a whole fryer chicken. I thought, this looks like normal. And then he started ripping pieces off it with the dirty fingernails and throwing it on my plate. I'm like, oh, God.
I don't even want to know how you fixed it up.
But at least it wasn't lab-grown meat from an extinct animal mixed with something modern in order to make something that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Like I said, this is how bad things happen. If God had wanted woolly mammoth meatballs on our plate, they would still be here now. This is... Ernst Wolftang needs to be reined in, like, right away.
Yes.
All right, I got more of this. You guys want to text it in? I'll take it, because I'm pretty sure that one got some reaction. Lab-grown meatballs. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about from way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. So, Boomer.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Woolly Mammoth. Meatball lab,
just doing the meatballs.
Lab grown. Well, I got to read some text here, but the first text I got to read comes from Charlene.
Oh, what'd she say?
So my lovely Charlene just texted me literally right after I went on to break. There's a meat and three place, you know it, Boomer, Pruitt's.
Oh yeah,
everybody loves Pruitt's. There's a meat and three place called Pruitt's, and she just texted me and goes, "Meatloaf Monday at Pruitt's." And I said, "Did you really just ask that after my last segment?" And she goes, "It's real meat, not woolly mammoth." And I said, "Oh boy, but yes."
But right after the segment,
I mean, literally
perfect.
Right after lab grown meat, woolly mammoth, Ernst.
Perfect
Ernst
timing.
Is doing it. Ernst Wolftang.
Wolftang.
So plenty
Ernst.
Of texts came in from that one. I'm not sure we're going to get to any more.
Oh.
But John from Huntsville texted in and says, do these woolly mammoth meatballs come with spaghetti and tomato paste? Because if they do, I might give it a try. However, I cannot try the dodo nuggets without knowing what kind of dipping sauce comes with them. what sauce would you like with your dodo nuggets, sir?
If you could have any sauce.
My gosh. Jenny from Decatur says, I mean, after spending so many of our dollars on researching, and this is about. I thought she was about researching. She's talking about space program. If that's, by the way, Jenny's saying she's hearing that the Space Command is staying in Colorado. That was being talked about a week or so ago that it's possible, but we don't know it for a fact, Jenny. So if something broke in the last few minutes, I will check and see during the next break. John from Brownsboro. He says, where can you find maple bacon donuts? Not lab grown, I hope. Maple bacon donuts, the official food of Right Side Radio. Anita from South Huntsville says, the texture of lab grown meat is the largest hurdle to popular acceptance. Since the muscles receive no exercise, the mouthfeel is very mushy. I'm getting grossed out, but scientists are experimenting with strapping the synthetic tissue grown in a vat onto robotic legs, which will then send electric signals to the muscle, causing it to contract. Just slaughter a cow and be done with it. In the future, all fast food workers will be robots piloted by art. Anita, you paint a very bleak image of the future.
Robots.
I don't want to be a part of this future with Anita. I don't. Missy from Falkville says, hey, don't dog out growing tomatoes while I'm planting 50. And she got a picture of it. I'm with you, girl. You plant them. Missy from Falkville. Racing from Milani says, Jesus, I'm ready. Take me home. from Hawaii, I mean. Yeah, I get it, man. Chadwick, brand new in the text string. Where's Chadwick from? Huntsville. Chadwick from Huntsville says, look, don't say it was for climate change you decided to grow a mammoth ball. Just say you thought it'd be cool. Pretty sure there's a movie series on all the bad reasons to do this. We got some great texts. Oh, my gosh. All right. What else we got here? Gina from Athens says, disgusting nightmares of woke world. Yep. Badger from Athens says, Soylent Green comes to mind. Tim from Madison says, make me a meatball sandwich. I'm down to try it. So Tim from Madison is all
ready.
Game, man.
He's on it.
He's in. Tony from Piedmont says, pardon me while I cough up a woolly mammoth meatball. Bert from Owens Crossroads says, I'm sure someone at PETA would eat that meatball. Probably not. There's probably some people for the ethical treatment of lab-grown meat out there.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right, look, I'm going to move on. I got a ton of the text lines went kaboom. You want to text in, you're welcome to it. I'll come back to some more of them later.
Can I respond to one text? It's Leanne from Huntsville. She asked where the article was, and that is on our website. You can go to the live stream tab, scroll all the way down, and you're going to see a button where it says resources for the show. You click it, and it's going to pull up all the resources for the show.
Yeah,
you can find the one, and it's on the very first article on the Adventures of Woke World.
Yeah, outstanding. Yes. Yeah, Boomer puts them up every day now. So I send him the links to all the stories I've picked out. He helps me get them in printable format so I can highlight them and do, you know, notes and all that kind of stuff. But now, because so many people would do exactly what just happened and say, where's that article at? Or how do I get a copy of it? This one was on Daily Wire, by the way, but your best place to find it is on rightsideradio.org resources tab at the bottom, just like Boomer said. Next story. Can I possibly get to all these stories, Boomer?
You got a lot of them.
I got a lot. Okay. the headline, literally I wrote, what? Out next to the headline. That's what I wrote. It's right there. What? Headline. MSN.com. By the way, when did we start celebrating mental illness? Headline. As a bisexual mom in a straight passing relationship, I sometimes feel guilty for identifying as queer. That's the headline. Kid you not. Let me read it again. What happens is when I take my notes, I'm holding this up to the camera right now so y'all can see it. When I'm taking my notes, I am literally highlighting things that I think are important to read out or to reference. But then I circle key words that I want to make sure I bring to emphasis. Almost every word in that title is circled. It's a key word. And I wrote, what? Not beside it. As a bisexual mom in a straight passing relationship, I sometimes feel guilty for identifying as queer. She starts off, she, he, I don't know. I identify as bi, but most people can't tell because I'm a mom in a relationship with a man. The bisexual erasure, she calls it, bisexual erasure. Apparently erasure is now a word. The bisexual erasure hurts and takes a toll on my mental health. I also feel guilty for identifying as bi because I have the safety of my nuclear-looking family. It's a nuclear-looking. It's not a nuclear family. It's a nuclear-looking family. It's apparently faux. She believes she's living a charade. That bisexual erasure takes a toll on my mental health, makes me question if I should even be calling myself queer in the first place. Maybe you shouldn't. She talks about how she met her husband. They have a, she calls a loving relationship, which leads many to believe that I'm straight, and it hurts, she says. It hurts that they think she's straight. At 34, I still feel like a pretend queer, but I'm working on it. This is an article that just clearly indicates that someone wrote this. They need counseling. They need help. They are looking at their loving family and their kids and questioning why any of it's any good, because in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm really different on the inside. Stop it. I'm not even going to spend much time on that one. That was just, okay. That was not near as fun as a lab-grown mammoth meatball. How about this one from Fox News, dated today? Fox News, April 3rd, my brother's birthday. The publisher of the classic 1936 novel Gone with the Wind has added trigger warnings to the latest edition, saying that it contains racist depictions and content that may be hurtful to readers. Somehow or another, we as a society have survived since 1936 without having trigger warnings in the most famous novel / movie of all time. Gone with the Wind is a novel which includes, here's a quote, actually, the quote of the warning, you ready? Which includes problematic events, including the romanticization of a shocking era in our history and the horrors of slavery. The novel includes the representation of unacceptable practices, racist and stereotypical depictions and troubling themes, characterization, language, and imagery. This does not, however, constitute an endorsement of the characterization, content, or language used. Is that where we are? Is that where we are, where we are such a snowflake society that novels, so at what point do we have to look at it and go, look, you know what? Read the book at your own peril. Suck it up like so many generations before you have. So we are probably two generations removed of people making this one of the best-selling books of all time into one of the best-selling movies of all time. And now have we devolved to that level? Are we down so far into woke snowflakeness, so far into jackassery? Oh, Boomer, jackassery. We're there. Hit it. Yeah. We are so far into jackassery that they can't even stop themselves from having to put a trigger warning on a, how old is this thing? Almost 90-year-old book. Almost 90-year-old. I mean, it's 87, is that right? Am I doing math right? 87 years old, this book's been around. Top seller, loved by generations, represents things that don't exist anymore. But you have to warn people, be careful. It concludes, what does it say? It says, the romanticization of a shocking era in our history. Shut up, snowflakes. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from the break and we'll wrap up Adventures in Woke World. Top of the hour, you're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to switch gears and talk about tone-deaf politics. Jeff Poore calling in. Yeah, we got, Can I even get through all this? I spent so much time lamenting the meat grown in a lab from dead animals that no longer exist. I got to ask Jeff Poore when he calls in if he needs a mammoth meatball. I will. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. Running a little section we call Adventures in Woke World. Got to do this once in a while, especially when they stack up as deep as this. Man, Boomer, I didn't realize I had this many stories. I resourced it out this morning early, and I got carried away, I reckon.
Got carried away. Well, so I mean, much wokeness. There's just so much out there. You just had to pull it in.
The buffet was full. I mean, yeah, they kept bringing out fresh stuff. All right, so Adventures in Woke World. I know that most of you are still recovering from the mammoth meatball grown in a lab in order to, you know, help reverse climate change. And by the way, the techs have gone mad again, Boomer. I can't even keep up. All right, so you'll be happy to know, by the way, as we celebrate Adventures in Woke World, that Dylan Mulvaney, the so-called transgender woman who online shared his 365 days of girlhood, that Bud Light now made a special commemorative can just for him with his image on it. Yeah. So transgender woman Dylan Mulvaney is now the face of Bud Light because these corporations hate you, says Red State writer Bonchi. So Dylan Mulvaney got his own Coors Light, did I say, or Bud Light? Bud Light can. Bud Light. Bud Light. What happened to you, Bud Light? Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they're trying to reach an audience that contains less than 1% of America. But, you know, hey, go for it, man. See how that helps your sales. Yeah, so there's that. Here's a headline. Another one from the Daily Caller had two of my best headlines for the day. Daily Caller had the meatball story. Daily Caller also had this one. You ready? Report, cops raided a farm to seize a 9-year-old's pet goat so a state senator could serve it at a community barbecue. What in God's name? What is happening in California? So California is so concerned right now with the climate and with, you know, restructuring the tax base and with making sure that nobody is able to go outside their doors during pandemic unless you're specially privileged. So anyway, story dated 2 days ago. Cops raided a farm to seize a 9-year-old's pet goat. Okay, I'm going to summarize this for you. Here's the bottom line. What apparently happened was a woman in California, somewhere near Sacramento, she bought her daughter a pet goat. Now, why you buy your daughter a pet goat to raise for a bit and then auction off is a little odd, but apparently what happened was that was the intent. She bought her daughter a pet goat, and then she took it to auction, and they were going to sell said goat. But before the bidding started, she realized how heartbroken her daughter was, and she pulled the goat out of the auction, except that the auction house now believes that said goat could not be pulled out, and said goat needs to be auctioned because there's some version of a contract here. Cool. So no one wants to take into account the little bitty girl whose pet goat is being sold, and it was sold for $902 at the auction to a California state senator named Brian Dahl. And Brian Dahl had every intent of eating that goat. By the way, who barbecues goats? Boomer, have you ever gone over to somebody's house on Saturday and watched the game and they're throwing goat on the grill?
Oh, we got some goat over here, guys. We're excited about this goat for this football game.
I ate some goat knuckle when I was in, I don't even know what goat knuckle is. I ate some goat knuckle in Afghanistan, goat knuckle and rice, you know, just like a favorite dish over there, apparently. I had dysentery 5 times. I lost 30 pounds. I can prove it. But anyway, the bottom line is State Senator Brian Dahl, by God, he wanted that goat. He was going to barbecue that sucker. And so then they filed an action with the police. So they filed, they pressed charges. And so then the police went and did a dynamic entry, breaching the doorway of the farm, seized the goat, and took it so that the state senator could eat the little girl's goat. I am not kidding right now. That's the story I have in front of me from Daily Caller. I read this and think, first of all, how's that going to look in your next campaign? State Senator Brian Dahl, this is the man who ate my goat. Does not deserve to be in public office. I'm saying, I'm pretty sure State Senator Brian Dahl needs to find a way to recoup this really, really quickly. All right, one more before we go to a call that may be coming in right now. You got a call? No? All right, it's not going to happen. Federal judges, Free Beacon, federal judges say they will not hire clerks from Stanford Law School. This is amazing. So you may remember last couple of weeks, a federal district court judge went and spoke at Stanford Law School, invited to speak to the Young Federalist Society. And when he got there, he was met by activists who came in, shouted them down, screamed all kinds of, they were screaming things like, we hope your daughters get raped. And these are law students, by the way. And then we had a dean of diversity, equity, and inclusion at the university who stood up and in a pretty much a kind, bless your heart kind of way, told him what a bad guy he was for 6 minutes for coming and then allowed him to go ahead and speak because she's not opposed to freedom of speech. Anyway, the bottom line is this. His fellow judges at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, they're not having any of it. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a highbrow place for a Stanford Law School student to get to be allowed to clerk during the early stages of their career, they're not getting any more. No more clerkships from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The judges there are saying, you know what? We don't need your kind of people here. We don't need people who do not understand the rule of law or the value of the Constitution. And so, yeah, it's no coincidence, said one of the judges, that the worst free speech incidents have occurred at the law schools with the least amount of intellectual diversity. There's a piece of diversity for you, intellectual diversity. All right, lastly, I'll say this, as we all try to recover from the meatball story. Kirk Cameron, and I love this. Kirk Cameron, a Christian actor and author, Kirk Cameron, has been taking his message of faith and family and patriotism and all that to a variety of libraries around the nation. He's the anti or the antithesis of the drag queen story hour. Kirk Cameron showing up with his book that one of them is called As You Grow, and another one, I've forgotten what it's called. I think it's called Elephants Can't Be Birds or something like that. So he went to Bryant Park in New York Public Library because the library had said they just didn't have room for him. Now, on the one hand, that's because there were so many people that wanted to come. On the other, it's pretty certain that the library was just looking for an opportunity not to host the event for a conservative. Well, Kirk Cameron, he went out of the park. They chose the location and found out that there were going to be a lot of people there, and people were enjoying this. People have been turning out in droves for his events. And I'm going to tell you, this is the way it should. This is, by the way, this is the way it should be. Conservatives, when you see the stuff going on around you right now, we have to become the opposite. We have to also do. We can't just sit back and go, well, that's an awful thing. I don't know why somebody take a stand for that. You take a stand. You see a drag queen story hour, go down there and see if they will allow you to hold your own story hour. Invite every person you know to bring their kids down and read them a book about patriotism or about the founding fathers or about some matter of faith or family. You take action. And I love the fact that Kirk Cameron puts his money where his mouth is. He gets busy, and he's out there touring the nation right now, providing an alternative to drag queen story hour. All right, you guys. Woo! That meatball story. I'm still getting over it. But hey, it is Meatloaf Monday at Pruitt's. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Right back with Jeff Poor. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. We cover down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Inexplicably, it is hour number three already. Here we are. We're going to switch gears. Moving forward in the triple dipper for the day, the next section we're going to talk about, I'm calling it tone deaf politics. Like, what does it mean when you see somebody who's in public office, like a governor or a president or some type of elected official in the legislature, just doing things you think, okay, are you even paying attention to the sentiments of the people you serve? Do you recognize how hard it is for them right now and how you're making it harder? Do you see yourself in the mirror once in a while? Tone-deaf politics. So listen, to kick this off, I want to have a conversation with a friend of mine. He's on the show quite often. Jeff Poor is the host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 every day down yonder in Mobile. He's also the executive editor of 1819 News. And Jeff Poor, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, listen, before we talk politics, though, I gotta sling a question at you you're not ready for.
All right.
Would you... I got an article we just read through, and the show went crazy over it. Would you be willing to eat a lab-grown meatball made in a lab synthetically using woolly mammoth meat?
No. Why would I do that?
Well, it ranks right up there with they were trying to actually make a chicken nugget from the DNA of a dodo bird. They're working on that one right now.
If you offer me some kind of incentive, maybe, but then it's like, hey, you want to be my guinea pig? No, get that away from me.
Dude, I've got this article right here from Daily Wire. It says, literally, this meatball was created using protein synthesized from a mammoth genome as part of the company's mission to fight climate change using lab-grown meat.
I hate them.
It gets worse as the article goes. I mean, my text lines went ballistic. It's... Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Let's go to politics, man. Let's talk about something you and I actually can still digest food after we talk about it most of the time. All right. So tone-deaf politics, man. I know you guys at 1819 have been tracking. I'm sure you have on your show also. I cannot help but, though, find Governor Ivey's budget proposals for the education budget especially to be a bit tone-deaf. I mean, education money for a water park in Montgomery for – The ill-timed or ill-planned and executed World Games in Birmingham, and now also we're finding there's money in there for the building of a new prison with education dollars. Your thoughts?
And then there's more. They're moving the airport from out in West Mobile to downtown Mobile. Some of that money. It's tone deaf. But here they deep down believe that they can convince you otherwise. That. You know, yeah, we probably shouldn't do this, but we'll just tell people. And, like, I'm afraid to say it, but we just give too many – we give a free pass on economic development. And that's the way it's been in this state. So it's like license to do whatever you want to. And then the water park, $25 million over budget. So here's $25 million for the ETF. It's vulgar.
It is vulgar, but it's not even, in my opinion, this doesn't even qualify as economic development. I mean, where's Secretary Canfield saying he's brokered a special deal to be able to make up the debt owed on a water park? And I mean, I don't see it. I look at this and look at it. It's just a trough, and they're bellying up to it. Meanwhile, people all over the state lost their businesses during the COVID shutdowns, but the government is just spending money wantonly right now on stuff that doesn't even fit the budget requirements.
Well, Senator, they do this though. They like the World Games was supposed to be this like ground changing, earth shattering event in Birmingham, Alabama, akin to like the '96 Atlanta Olympics or something. And it was nothing of the sort. It was awful. I mean, it was just like kind of like weird, like Jello wrestling, I don't know, sumo wrestling, weird events, and nobody's tuned in for that. And it, so secondly, this idea that this water park in Montgomery is gonna turn Montgomery into like the next colossal powerhouse is just absurd. It's like we do this, like we need to give a nod to these places to make sure everybody gets their beak wet, and that's all this is, and it is disgusting.
Well, it is, and I look at it and think, okay, these are also real poorly executed opportunities conducted by the local leadership. And I understand that sometimes things go badly. But you know what? You bore the risk, and why are you coming to the Education Trust Fund in Montgomery? And by the way, why is that? Bill Poole is the finance director. Bill understands. He's a pretty good dude. He understands the situation. He came out of the legislative branch. And I'm assuming he's the one who wrote this budget.
Tell these people no. If you don't tell Birmingham no, if you don't tell Montgomery no, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do more of this silliness in the future, and we're going to get more water parks and world game ideas that really don't do anything. If you stop it now, if you stop bailing these people out, you'll teach them a lesson in like moral hazard and risk, and they don't take on these stupid projects they know are not going to fundamentally change their cities.
Remember back when the was it the Birmingham Water Works that had, or Jefferson County had to file bankruptcy, and they wanted the bailout, and they weren't going to get it. They had to own their problems and handle it like, you know, a local government should. And there are times and places I can see where you might want to step in and help because it's a joint project that benefits the whole state, but not like this, and not in the aftermath. In the aftermath, when you've done poorly and you managed it badly, then you look at it and go, you know, fellas, you just own that one.
Yeah, well, it's just like it all went wrong. I mean, it started with the Mercedes Benz, and I guess that went well enough and okay. It's being used, it's being abused. This whole notion of economic development and this whole idea of these things and the mistrust and misappropriation of trust in government right now, but because it's all economic development, they just use it as a license for everything. And here's the problem, though. Everyone's too scared to stand up against it. They don't want to be an outcast. I mean, there's some that are willing to be the outcast, but they're already the outcast, and they're going to fight it. But you know, it's too much of a good old boy network.
Well, it is, but not everything you're naming is economic development. I mean, she's right now. We got apparently $100 million in the education budget for the Elmore County Prison, which is now over budget. And they're talking about spending $1 billion on the one prison that was originally slated to be like $600 million. Well, there's no economic development in that. That's just like a, oh, crap, it costs more. So carve some money out of the education budget, pretend it's about education, and let's build a prison. So I think what we're looking at is just trough feeding. I mean, literally.
Well, I'll say this, though. I mean, this was why we had the prison problems today, is because George Wallace turned it into economic development.
Yeah.
And he spread the prisons out all over the state, and now you didn't have that, you know, it was more expensive to have like five doctors or 10 doctors or whatever, and you didn't just have one doctor at one central location. But that card's coming, guys. They're going to make, when this Escambia and Elmore County prisons, the price tag goes up even more, and I predict it will, they're going to play the economic development card. Honest, it is coming that prisons provide jobs, and jobs are important. So here's some money from our economic incentives.
The funny thing is, though, and this is where we got to watch it. The funny thing is, though, you're not talking about a private prison. Therefore, you're incentivizing a private company to come to your state and set up its auto manufacturing plant or whatever. You're talking about government incentivizing itself. This is a self-licking ice cream cone, and it is so tone deaf. If they are looking at the ability to, that's a great government project run by a government department, staffed with government employees, and we're going to upfund it and call it economic development. Really? It's not quite the same thing. And like I said, I don't see Secretary Canfield getting involved in that, and he's supposed to be the one in charge of commerce.
Well, Jeff Poore and Phil Williams are just chronic malcontent right-wingers that don't know how this state works. You just think it all works on a piece of paper. You don't understand any of it. You shouldn't listen to those guys because they're nothing but complainers, and we're trying to do good for the state. You should listen to us.
And, by the way, go eat a meatball grown in a lab made out of a dead animal. It's extinct. That's the way it should be.
Well, we're doing our part for the environment, Senator.
Frick. All right. What else you guys working on down there at 1819? Any other tone-deaf politics you got going on?
I mean, there's a lot of tone-deaf politics. The stuff going on at Troy University, I think you keep an eye on them. Speaking of economic developments, they want a unified message from an academic institution. I mean, if this were like women's and gender studies and the state's establishment were saying, hey, get in line behind us, how do you think that would go over? But it's just conservatives, and it's just guys like Phil Williams and Jeff Poore that want to complain all the time while we're trying to do good for the state. So who cares? Let them. But they don't even do that. They want unanimity on these. I don't even think they're controversial. I think this stuff's going to sail right through, Senator. But the power brokers in the state, they kill me sometimes. They it's like these self-inflicted wounds where they just let stuff go. They would get their way, but they, for some reason, need to flex. I don't get it.
Well, here's my last question for you. This whole section being called tone-deaf politics, this education budget you and I just yammered about a moment ago, I mean, it's technically called the governor's budget. Now, the legislature takes their strike at it, and they do their part, and they can cut things out and do things differently, and some of them are talking about that. But so-called governor's budget, has the governor issued a statement about the concerns about stupid port projects built into her education budget at all? Has she said anything?
She hasn't said anything at all, except the last couple of hours she did a press conference about her new economic incentive plan or whatever. So, no, she hasn't. She's been largely MIA.
Yeah, well, that's almost par for the course, which is also part of the tone deafness, in my opinion. How can you be in tune with people when they can't ever figure out when you're going to be around?
Well, I mean, just I guess in the state, a lot of people are like, especially with our run of governors, they're better seen and not heard, and that's kind of unfortunate.
All right. Well, thanks for the encouragement, bud.
we'll go eat a woolly mammoth a meatball sandwich or something
right
here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What kind of sauce do you want on that? All right. All right, Jeff Poore, host of the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and executive editor 1819 News. Thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you for having me on.
See you. All right, take me to a break, Boomer brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back and keep this thing moving. We're in number 3 of the Triple Dipper, Tone Deaf Politics. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, special shout out to one of our listeners, Hank from Decatur. Hank from Decatur, got your letter in the mail, appreciate that very much, and thanks for the opportunity to converse with you. Anyway, Hank from Decatur, appreciate you. Hey, listen, I'm gonna tell you real quickly too. Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors, Elm, ELM, that stands for Expect Little Miracles. Elm Foundation is doing cool stuff and changing people's lives while they do it. The Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville, check them out on their website. That's ELMHSV, as in Elm Huntsville. Elm Foundation is doing things like, you know, intervening in people's lives, helping them get back on their feet, giving them job skills training, giving them accountability to follow through, making sure they know what's what and how best they can fit back into society. Not just like government throwing money at it. I'm talking about they actually walk people through the process of restoring them to being effective and productive members of the community. And so I just want to encourage you, check out their website. You may like what you see. the Elm Foundation at elmhsv.org. That's elmhsv.org. And if you wind up talking to them or going to one of their meetings or whatever else, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate it greatly. All right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, as we move through on this tone-deaf politics, I mean, I just find it, and I'll touch base on this situation with Governor Ivey's education budget. If you have not heard, you may have heard bits and pieces a moment ago when I was talking to Jeff Poor. But here's the bottom line. In the process of budgeting, the way it works is the governor sends over her budget, her proposed budget. But the legislature has the power of the purse. The legislature is the one who, you know, reviews it, walks it through the committee process, and then begins to, you know, redefine the appropriations, strike some, add some, whatever. So the legislator has her budget right now and is reviewing it. And before the end of the session, the only thing that the legislature is constitutionally mandated to do is pass the governor's budget. Or not pass a budget, I'm sorry. In Alabama, we have two budgets. We have the education budget and we have the everything else budget we call the general fund. So the education budget, I can't tell you how many times in the past it was flush with cash, but you couldn't touch it even though the general fund was sucking wind and woefully inadequate to cover expenses. But right now, for the first time in God knows maybe ever, Alabama has surpluses like you wouldn't believe. Not just from federal dollars. We have $2.7 billion in true budget surpluses. But yet we're not seeing any relief built in. Oh, we might get a rebate of $400 a household. How tacky is that? But within the governor's education budget, she's got something like $20 million to help finish out a water park area in Montgomery. What? She's got $5 million, I believe it is, to go to the city of Birmingham to help pay off the debt they incurred by hosting the World Games, which didn't go very well. They've got $100 million for, and it is the educational facilities, but it's still prison facilities. Well, I thought we were paying for the prison through all this financing we did out of our COVID relief money, that we couldn't get any relief to private citizens who had their businesses shut down. No. Just, hey, we gotta upfund this prison thing, man. Well, we did. I know we have to build new prisons because the other ones are, I don't mean like inadequate. I mean, they're awful. They're like 160% overpopulated and we're under court order to get it fixed. But that being said, they just doubled the cost like a couple weeks ago. Did you not do a bidding process on that? Did you not have somebody locked in? For the love of God, $1 billion now to build one prison, not the three that we're talking about, just one of them. And so what does her education budget have? Oh, look, you know, I think we'll use $100 million of our surplus in education. Yeah, and we'll build part of that prison. Right. Well, this is tone deaf, y'all. This is a governor's budget that doesn't look like she not even cares what's going on with the people around her. She's just looking around going, hey, where can I sling some money? Hey, and by the way, think about what she just did. She bailed out the city of Birmingham. She's bailing out the city of Montgomery. She's bailing out the prison. What are those? She's funding government. She's not spending time finding a way to say the people of this state need something back in their own pockets because they're the ones, their small businesses and their individual work, they are what drives the economy in our state. No, she's too busy finding little port projects to help fund local, county, and state government. That is about as tone deaf as it gets. And I'll be honest with you, Governor Ivey does some good things, and when she does, I'll call him out. But right now, this education budget is embarrassing. Embarrassing. And she needs to go ahead and pull it back and have it redone. I'm wondering how much of it she even saw before she sent it across the street. All right, tone deaf politics continues when we get back. What is the Arizona governor doing about the border? Yeah, wait till you hear from this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Wow. Okay, so the text lines have just gone crazy today, Boomer. I was checking them out a minute ago, and I'm going to jump on those here in just a minute. Before I do, though, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions, man, they are tearing it up right now. They are helping businesses left and right. I'm pretty sure their business is expanding as we speak. But yeah, ZLA Solutions, they do all kinds of things. They can help you a lot of different business solutions, things like, you know, logistics, warehousing, quality control, sorting and containment, all that kind of stuff. But their bread and butter remains staffing. Doesn't matter whether it's for temp employees or direct hire employees. They can find you the people you need. I'm talking about blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. They're in the middle of helping a big hiring push right now for a big white collar, high tech opportunity out at Redstone Arsenal. But they've got any number of different kind of jobs, everything from auto manufacturing and hospital staffing and otherwise. And yeah, high tech. But so if you need help staffing out your business, doesn't matter how many you need, onesies and twosies or a whole shift of people. ZLA Solutions, man, they can do that for you. The recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, all of it. Here's their website, ZLAUSA.com. Super easy. Go to ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. And when you do, I would much appreciate it if you would say you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Let me go to that text line here for a minute. Where was this? Let's see. Talking about the mammoth meatball again, Boomer. So people are still texting in about the woolly mammoth lab-grown meatball. Bruce from Hazel Green says, Phil, don't you remember the days when you were in survival training eating bugs and grubs and other disgusting things? Yeah, but they were real. I think I'd rather eat a grub that I found under a log than some slimy piece of meat grown in a lab from an extinct animal's DNA. I just don't like it. All right, so there's that. Brandy from Athens, regarding trigger warnings on Gone with the Wind, says frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, and just wait for the trigger warning on the Bible. Yeah. Donna from Coleman says, lab-grown meat fuels artificial intelligence. There you go. Raven from Russellville says, sounds like something a genderqueer clown nun would enjoy eating. Yeah, no doubt. Jack Assery says, pulling a giant jack wagon. Oh, my gosh. Jeremy from Huntsville, what did he have on here? He says, regarding Gone with the Wind, he also says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. That was a common, that joke got grabbed by a lot of people. Mike from Rainbow City, that story about the lady who says she's disturbed because she considers herself bisexual, but people think she's straight and she's got a family, but she doesn't, calls it a, like almost like a faux family. Mike from Rainbow City texted and says, the married lady story is sad. It's a simple mental illness. Mostly she needs Jesus. I would agree with that. All right, listen, let me do that. Have I got a call on the line? I will do that real quick. Is that Lee? Lee from Huntsville. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. How you been?
You know, that work's been busy, but I've been trying to catch you whenever I can, or I listen on YouTube afterwards. So good. I always catch it.
Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, all this... I'm over the meatball thing. That is the most disgusting thing I have ever heard. Are we going to Jurassic Park or what?
It's like, yeah. So at what point does the something grown in the lab take over? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, they're also going to like rehydrate some of these old viruses too. Don't think they are doing that. But anyway, and I don't know if you saw my text, but I want my pterodactyl egg omelet. I mean, come on. This is just ridiculous.
That's, so I did see that, and I was just about to get to it when I realized you were on the phone. So, yeah, Lee texts in. She wants a pterodactyl egg omelet to go with her lab-grown woolly mammoth
exactly.
Meatball. Awesome.
Come on.
Awesome.
But my main comment is, and we've played baseball up in Albertville. I don't know if you've ever been to the big complex there. They have, like, a big water park type complex. There's all kinds of sports stuff up there, and they spent, I don't know how much, because everything has turf. I mean, turf's super expensive if people don't know that. and they spent millions upon millions upon millions on this. Why is it that they can float bonds or do whatever they need to do to get that built, and Montgomery needs us to build a water park for them or complete a water park for them to use for the rest of the state? I say let Montgomery pay for that. It's ridiculous that they would want the state to pay for that. We're not going to use it.
Totally agree. And I look at it, and first of all, that entire sports complex built out in Albertville is amazing. And they did it with local dollars and local bond issues, but I think it's leadership. I think it boils down to leadership. Leadership that's willing to own what they get into and not have to look for the handout left and right. You know, if a tornado had come through or a bomb had gone off, I get it, but it's not that. It's management and leadership.
And and I have a child who lives in Birmingham, and I was down there in and out during that World Game thing. And Boomer's right. There's some of the weirdest, quote, games. I was like, I've never heard of this. It's just, you know, it was silly, and it wasn't well done, and it wasn't advertised well. But Birmingham is just, it's like Atlanta. It's a city that everybody gets where they get through hookups, and they are mismanaged. They are poorly managed. It's not a city that I would ever want to live in. I mean, I know there's some nice parts, but I still wouldn't want to live there. It's not well run. Huntsville is 10 times better run. I mean, our sewers are okay. Birmingham's are decrepit. And, you know, it's due to mismanagement more than anything. And you reward the mismanagement by supplementing their funds when they mess up instead of forcing them to come up with the money on their own.
Yep, it ain't right. And it's completely tone deaf, because when you look at the private sector that suffered through the pandemic and now the Bidenomics of our current recession and interest rates and inflation, and you think, okay, everybody in the private sector is struggling to get by, but the only place in the world where you're allowed to fail and still get your next level appropriation and maybe even a plus up is somewhere in government, and that's what they're doing. It's tone deaf.
Yes. That's why the term good enough for government work came from. It means you can do some half-assery and still get it.
So now we got to have jackassery and half-assery. We got to find a sound effect for half-assery. I don't know what that looks like, but okay. Hey, Lee, appreciate you. You have a great day. Is she gone? She's gone. Okay. Tone-deaf politics is not just in Alabama. I'm fussing a moment ago about Governor Ivey's education budget. Here's one for you. So in Arizona, you know the deal. You know what the border's been like. The Arizona border crisis is unreal. And, of course, it's mostly federally controlled, right? However, it affects the individual citizens of the state of Arizona. And now, you remember the whole thing about Katie Hobbs sort of won the Arizona governor's race. It's questionable. But she won. She's the governor, just like Joe Biden's the president. Katie Hobbs assumes the role as governor, and now within months, she is scrapping the border strike force. I kid you not. While her people are suffering because they're being inundated with illegals rushing across the border, draining local services, stomping through farm fields, babies being found, you know, abandoned at the border, dead bodies in the rivers. It's the governor's job to protect the people of her state. And the first thing she wants to do now is she wants to scrap her state's border strike force. I don't know how much more tone deaf you could be. Now, she does say what our budget intends is to do is to reallocate the funds where they can be most purposeful. Really? Like away from the border? So I've said this before. Recent reporting has indicated it's not a force. It's not striking at the border. She's playing with words now. And so we can repurpose those dollars where they can be more beneficial in terms of coordinating a law enforcement response at the border. It was a law enforcement response at the border. And she said this, by the way, while she was touring the border just a few days ago with Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, which to me is like two blind rats sniffing out a piece of cheese. That's what it was. They have no idea how tone deaf they are. Representative Andy Biggs, who serves, you know, I think he is actually the chair of the House Freedom Caucus. He's also from Arizona. He says the courageous members of the Arizona Border Strike Force Bureau keep Arizonans safe every day. There is no rational reason to undermine border and national security efforts amid a historical border crisis. When you've got the governor of the neighboring state, Texas, plussing up his state's response levels, adding to his state personnel. And oh, by the way, Arizona, your Border Strike Force was considered a part of your Department of Public Safety, so it was law enforcement. But the governor is going to go ahead and just pretend she doesn't hear what her people are saying to her and go ahead and do away with the Border Strike Force. How about this one? Tone deaf. So Michigan, where did we just learn first about the Chinese spy balloon? We learned about it when it was flying over Michigan, or was it Montana? It was Montana, the upper Midwest. As we watch the border, the northern states see the balloon for the first time, the governor of Michigan is recruiting Chinese-owned battery-making plants to come to Michigan and set up. Tone deaf. You got more than 100 residents of the Green Charter Township, according to Fox News, and Big Rapids in rural Mecosta County, Michigan, showing up to a March 14th meeting to voice their concerns over the presence of Chinese-owned company Goshen Global amid growing concerns over national security issues related to China. So one member of the crowd stood up and said, "Why would we invite the enemy to come spy on us? All things on here are bad, but the thing that drives me most nuts is this is our enemy. That is our enemy, not the Chinese people. I have nothing against the Chinese people. They suffer the same under communism that you all are trying to bring here. This is disgusting." That's the best they can do. Governor Gretchen Whitmer is literally recruiting now a Chinese-owned battery-making company. Okay, well, one more on governors, and we'll come back and we'll wrap up talking about the president. Woke California Governor Newsom. You may recall that Governor Newsom, in the midst of everything else he's done, he established the commission to review and advise on the issue of reparations. Reparations. Really? Slavery ended 150 years ago. But they're talking about paying people because they are black. They can't prove they're descendants of slaves. They might be, but how do you prove it? And by the way, California never had slavery. But I don't know if he put it in commission thinking it wouldn't do anything. But right now it says Governor Gavin Newsom has yet to explain how he tends to shell out the more than $650 billion to millions of Californians, a lofty campaign intended to provide those families with reparations. The California Reparations Task Force is currently mulling the proposal, which would see approximately 1.8 million black Californians gifted under $360,000 each. Tone deaf, all the more so when you consider the fact that California is facing a $22.5 billion deficit for next year. So in a $22 billion deficit, the governor refuses yet to say what he's going to do about this recommendation for $640 billion in reparations to people who allege that they are descendants of slavery. You can't get much more tone-deaf fiscally than that. Boomer, take me to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back, and we'll talk about a few things that I see coming out of D.C. If we have time, we'll cover down the fact that, oh, I don't know, maybe we're looking at President Biden joking about ice cream, right before he makes his comments about the transgender shooting kids in a Christian school. Or how about, remember the time when he was looking at his watch while they were taking the coffins off the plane from Afghanistan? Yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, earlier in the show, you know, we did that section on Insurrection 2.0. Mm-hmm. Matt Murphy from Nashville just tweeted out. He's a radio show guy up in Nashville, was on my show last week. He said more protests are expected at the Tennessee Capitol tomorrow, but fear not. He says He'll be there doing a live broadcast, apparently. But interesting. So Insurrection 3.0, I guess, is coming up. I got a caller online. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, except for that George Thorogood and the Destroyers. That's my ringtone. I had to look at my phone to see if I was getting another call coming in.
Well, you know, my ringtone is the song Right Now by Van Halen, and we also play that in the background. I can't tell you how many times it's freaked me out.
Well, let me toss this out there very quickly, right, which is so many people have sworn an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies both foreign and domestic. That goes from sheriffs, that goes to enlisted in the military, that goes all the way to the people that are sworn in the Congress. And when is it that we forgot our oaths? I still abide by mine, even though I'm long gone. So I'm sitting there thinking of the Alan Parsons Project, games people play. Where do we go from here?
It's you know, you look at it too and you think, okay, yeah, you're right. That's why you do see sometimes you see a current sheriff saying he will not enforce a liberal gun control law, or something. But you're right that it creates a dichotomy in society when you recognize the Constitution doesn't allow that, but they keep doing it. When do I stand up? Well,
and when do I abide by my oath?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a great point. Great point. Hey, Brian, before you go. I mean, I know that you're a good cook. Would you eat a lab-grown woolly mammoth meatball?
No chance in 80s realm.
All right, man. Have a great day. Appreciate you. Last couple of things. I mean, I don't even have time to get through all the material here today, but tone-deaf politics. You know, when a politician can't read the room, when they cannot figure out how to best recall what their constituents are going through, and they just do stuff because it's kind of like, let them eat cake. Well, the other day, most recently here, and I had any number of stories I could have chosen this from, but do you remember when President Biden came out, like the Nashville shooting had just occurred, 6 people dead, and the shooter, 3 9-year-old children in those dead. It was an awful situation. The world was on edge watching it. President Biden comes out to make comments, and he started off by being silly. He's coming out to address another group that was already in the White House, which had children and things in it. But I guess he thought it would be a good idea to joke about ice cream and to talk about him and to wave and to smile and to kind of be Huckster Joe. And it was so tone deaf. Somebody should have told him, hey, when you go out there, keep a straight face and address the issue and apologize for having to talk serious in the middle and then get light with them afterwards. But the opening comments with children dead is not, I'm here because I heard there was ice cream, and talking about what his favorite flavor is. Unreal. Unreal. Tone deaf. But then he is known for being tone deaf. He's known for being tone deaf. You may recall, and cameras are on him. He's been in public office long enough to know that cameras are always on you, even more so when you're president. But remember when the U.S. Marines were killed in the suicide bombing at the Kabul airport during his debacle of a pullout? And President and Mrs. Biden, and I believe Secretary Austin and some others went to to be there when the caskets came off the plane. And on the one hand, I thought, good. He needed to go. He needed to be there. They died on his watch because of his watch, if you get down to it. And then being so tone deaf and forgetting who he is again, because it's all about him and about lightening things up. In the middle of the ceremony, the cameras watch and the world saw as he looked at his watch like he had somewhere else he wanted to be. You talk about tone deaf. I mean, my gosh. It doesn't. I mean, but how many times do we hit on and on and on? How about this? Fox News had a piece talking about the fact that there had just been a liberal activist that was successful in helping to curtail lobster fishermen off the coast of Maine from pursuing their livelihood as they had done for centuries. And the next few days later, Joe Biden held a White House dinner serving a lavish lobster meal as if, you know, He wasn't even paying attention. Someone somewhere might should have said something because the tone deafness was galling. All right, you guys, heading to dinner here pretty soon, and it will not be Woolly Mammoth Meatballs. Y'all have an amazing night. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. We'll see you then. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.